Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jason Didden, Mid-Atlantic Council staff, presenting on summarizing stock status update for spiny dogfish, SSD recommendations, and the findings of the monitoring committee. First, a couple process issues. We had originally intended to have a joint committee meeting in December at the Mid-Atlantic Council's meeting, and then bring the results from that from the joint committee and the Mid-Atlantic Council to the New England Council in January. However, the region informed us that that timeline would not allow for sufficient review and also the rulemaking public comment periods, and that's why we're here now at this meeting. And we do have the stock status update, the SSCABC recommendations, and the results from the monitoring committee and technical committee, and that's what I'll get into now. Dogfish status update, it's down from last year. The current female SSB and metric tons is down about 16%. And what drives the ABC calculations, the yield calculations, are not the current SSB, but the next year's, the projection for the fishing year. And that, compared to last year, this year is down about 20%. And so that and all of the science behind it was presented to the SSC, and their consensus recommendation was 10,000 metric tons. It's based on an F rebuild of F equals 0.11. That's the status quo F from last year. And there was discussion of could that F be higher. However, the stock has yet to be officially declared rebuilt. There is no official rebuilding target goal for the stock. And because it hasn't been rebuilt, the SSC, and the quotes are there because it's just out of their notes, was that the SSC does not have the authority to exceed the rebuilding F. So you apply that the rebuilding F to the current stock, and that's where the 10,000 metric tons. And if you look at the third line of on the screen up there, you can see that those kind of the next year projection, the fishing year projection, drives the ABC, and that went from 15,000 last year to 10,000 this year, about a 34% reduction. When you take out discards, when you take out the Canadian landings, recreational landings, you get the U.S. commercial quota. It's just exactly as was done last year. And you end up with, for 2010-11 fishing year, of a quota of 9.1 million pounds. It's about a quarter less than last year's 12 million pound dogfish quota. The monitoring committee met. They had two meetings. The first meeting, there was an issue with a miscalculation with how Canadian landings were accounted for. It forced a follow-up conference call that occurred last Friday. And basically the end result of that conference call was the monitoring committee was basically forced to acknowledge the implications of the SSCABC, and that's a 9.1 million pound commercial quota. The monitoring committee also discussed the trip limits. There was some discussion, some folks who ship dogfish ship them in 2,000 pound totes, and some folks wanted that the commission increase to 4,000 pounds. In light of the reduced quota, the monitoring committee recommended status quo trip limits as well, 3,000 pounds. That's the situation as things stand now, and I'll turn it back to the council. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just point out that I believe the FMP does require a meeting of the committee as part of the spec-setting process, and just in order to satisfy that term of the FMP, I would suggest that before you take action, you consider convening as the committee of the whole.
I think that's right. For the purposes of this discussion and any votes, we'll consider ourselves a committee of the whole to comply with the FMP. Dr. Pierce.
Well, congratulations for giving that presentation without laughing out loud. Rather grim faces. I don't know what to say. which is rather remarkable in light of the historic assessment information before us. I'll just ask questions now. The Canadian catch, Canadian landings, just a clarification. It's unclear to me whether the Canadian landings that are being deducted from the total, if those actually represent Canadian landings from the area that was surveyed to come up with an estimate of our biomass, or does it include the Canadian landings that would be from all areas, that is, Canadian waters, Nova Scotia, outside of the area that was surveyed by, for the assessment?
I wish Dr. Rago was here. I don't know if he is here. We had hoped he was going to be here, but I think... yes?
Paul, the question is yes or no? We need an answer. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Did you get the question, Paul?
You said yes?
I didn't hear the question.
Oh. Yeah, Paul, the question is...
I'm sorry. Didn't hear the landings.
Yeah, the question is, Paul... Canadian landings come off of the total to account.
That's correct.
Right.
Yes.
And it was unclear to me from looking at the assessment whether those include Canadian landings of dogfish that were caught within the survey area itself or within the survey area and outside.
Within and outside.
Within and outside. Therefore,
yes.
Okay.
Outside our survey area, correct.
Right. So if they're outside our survey area, then wouldn't that suggest that we are subtracting too many Canadian landings off the top? Because if we had surveyed the area where Canadian landings originated, where the catches originated, the biomass estimate would go up. So that to me is inconsistent. I would think you would have to just subtract the Canadian landings from the area that was surveyed because that's where the biomass estimate comes from as a swept area estimate.
The disparity there is that we assume that we have a unit stock which is characterized by the observations that we take in the spring survey and that most of the Canadian fish are in that area during the time of the spring survey. That, of course, is something that will be discussed at the track meeting in January. But as of right now, our operating hypothesis is that is a unit stock and that most of those landings are coming from those fish which are ultimately surveyed in our spring survey.
When you say most, you mean 59%, 70%, makes a big difference in terms of what's available for U.S. harvest with the methodology we're looking at
right
now.
I understand that, and I think it's a scientific hedge to say most. In terms of the current understanding of the resource and the way it has been assessed, we are assuming that is taken from the biomass estimates that we obtain in the spring survey. Thank you.
To some extent, we don't know to what extent we are actually taking too much Canadian landings off the top.
Okay. That's certainly a potential consequence of that line of reasoning. Thank you.
Anything further? Any other questions? Rich?
Rich Rue with the American Bluefin Tuna Association. Having just spent 12 days with Sonia Fordham in Brazil and talking about dogfish, there's a fairly high level of confidence on their part that dogfish is going to get a CITES listing. And since we had Mr. Coddington here, not that I wanted to impose upon him, but what are the implications for if there is a listing of CITES 1 or 2 for dogfish? What are the implications for domestically here in the West Atlantic?
Uh,
I knew there was a reason I came up here today. I'm David Cottingham with the Protected Resources Office in Fishery Service in Silver Spring. Well, one of the questions you asked was the consequences of an Appendix 1 listing, and there's not going to be an Appendix 1 listing. I can assure you that because no one has proposed it. The consequences of an Appendix 2 listing, were that to happen, would be that what you'll see in my presentation in a few minutes. When something is listed on CITES Appendix 2, countries that are exporting those things, and they could be anything from orchids to anything that's listed on Appendix 2, plants or animals, the countries are then managing them, and they have to make two findings. One, that the finding is not to the detriment of the species, and two, that the product was harvested legally. And those are the two conditions that the country has to make. And so if a dogfish or anything else that's exported from the United States that's listed on Appendix 2, the Fish and Wildlife Service would have to document those, make those two findings, and they would have to put a certificate on that. It's an authorization to do the export. It would have to go through a designated port that the Fish and Wildlife Service has designated. And in some cases, primarily the European Union, in most cases, countries don't second guess the export country. At the European Union, they have the authority to, because of their domestic statutes, to make a finding that, to check on that. And so they have to make an affirmative finding that they agree with the exporting country's designation. It would mean in this case, dogfish came up at the last CITES meeting, and we spent quite a bit of time trying to figure out how this would actually work. And it would mean that there would have to be a paper trail between the person who harvested it and the exporter, as it goes out, regardless of how many times that changes hands. If it were to be harvested within the quota that either the Atlantic States Fishery Management Council or you guys in the Mid-Atlantic within that, I would guess we'd have a pretty easy time saying that it was harvested sustainably and not to the detriment of the stock. And then we'd have to document it legally. So I hope that answers your question.
Does that mean each dog needs a tag?
I don't think each dog does, but each shipment does. It might mean that each one would, yeah.
And you brought up...
I can't tell who's speaking. Okay,
it's me.
Yeah.
Hi. You brought up designated ports or landing ports. Does that mean that potentially all the ports that dogfish are currently landed in may not be viable spots to land them in the future? And that
not the landing as much as the exporting.
Oh, the export.
The exporting. That those are the designated ports for the exporting.
It's not where they come ashore.
That's correct. But you'd have to have a paper trail so that you can show the Fish and Wildlife Service inspector when the exporter has a however many they are going to export in this shipment that those were harvested legally and not to the detriment of the stock, which generally would mean they were harvested in conformance with a fishery management plan. We had long discussions with the Fish and Wildlife Service prior to the last conference of the parties, and they have what they call folder authorization. I can talk about this a lot if you want me to, but I really, you know, you tell me how much you want to know. They have, let's just say, three different people had the authority to export 1,000 pounds each. They could then give you 10 stamps for your 1,000 pounds, and when you go to export 300 pounds the first time, you put three stamps on it, and it goes. We realize that this is a fresh product market, and the importance of expeditious handling on that. Fish and Wildlife Service has done that, and they said they would be willing to do that, work with the fishery people at the last when we're looking at this in 2007.
I know you're going to give a presentation later on, but it sounds to me like they've determined they want to do CITES for dogfish.
No. The U.S. did support it at the last conference of the parties. We have not made any. I'll get into what our positions are going to be in a few minutes.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Anything further on dogfish, Frank?
Well, we've got a series of motions that we have to go through for the specs. So, if Karen has. Okay. Move to accept the SSC's recommendation that sets the ABC for spiny dogfish at 10,064 metric tons for the fishing year 2010, based on FRE build of 0.11.
We need a second for that.
Yes.
Dave Preble, discussion? Dr. Pierce?
No, go ahead.
Well, I think the outcome of this would be a rather dramatic decrease in the overall quota that the councils as well as ASMFC are currently using for the dogfish fishery, around 12 million pounds. It'll drop down from 12 to around what? 12 to?
9.
9.1 million. All right. Well, it's a rather surprising set of circumstances that leads us to this conclusion. That is, if we adopt this motion, we'll find ourselves cutting the quota, and that flies in the face of information we have before us from the fishing industry, from those who are impacted by dogfish, and of course it flies in the face of the assessment itself. And some of the assessment advice specifically, I'm really surprised that the SSC made the recommendation it did. We're not overfished. We are not overfishing. We are just about at the biomass target. The Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, as noted by the SSC, has declared spiny dogfish to be rebuilt. We've hit our biomass target. So, you know, with those three points, it's extremely difficult to justify, to explain to a fishing industry already hard-pressed by dogfish in a variety of ways and seeking to land dogfish to benefit from the price. It's hard to explain to them why we would actually be considering this sort of a cut. There are some ecosystem considerations that I have that I won't get into because that's another issue unto itself. Well, so what do we do? We have SSC advice, the Mid-Atlantic Council, SSC, of course. The Mid-Atlantic Council will deal with that advice when it meets next, and we'll certainly consider what we have to say here today. So, and then the National Marine Fisheries Service, I believe, has the choice. If there's a difference of opinion between both councils, the service can choose that and can make a pick as to which one it feels is appropriate. I look at the harvest scenarios that are described in the stock assessment itself, and this is in the handout on dogfish on page 11. Dogfish discussion materials, and here's where I really find myself quite troubled with the SSC advice, because I see the projection model results, and we've always used the projection models from the assessment, and the assessment scientists have done an outstanding job with this work, and Paul Rago being one of them, Kathy Soesby and the rest. It's amazing how they've been able to get it to this point in time. And, of course, we'll have a benchmark fairly soon, and that will be useful. But it says on that particular page that the projection model was revised to incorporate the following changes. And it lists, I'm sorry, that's the wrong page, page 13, under the section overfishing limits and sources of uncertainty. All right. Number four. Given the above considerations, a possible harvest rate for an ABC might be one that, and then it indicates three very important considerations that this council and Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission must always pay attention to. And one is, keeps the population near the rebuilt level, B, avoids rapid changes in catch levels, and C, allows the population size structure to approximate a more balanced size structure and sex ratio, consistent with the life history theory. And then they go on to say in the assessment, In terms of a constant F, a fishing mortality rate in between 0.11 and 0.284 might accomplish these goals. So now we're looking at 0.11 and the consequences of that, driving the allowable harvest in the next fishing year down to a much lower level, inconsistent with, frankly, the assessment advice and where we stand relative to being rebuilt. So, now, with that said, I certainly don't want to see this fishery operate at a fishing mortality rate that's close to the higher value, the FMSY value. It's around 0.36 or 0.39, and we've got good assessment advice on that. It's too high. It'll lead us to a bad place. We've got a healthy resource right now. We don't want to go there. However, we are seeing from the assessment 0.11 to 0.284. So my preference is to, I guess as a committee of the whole, provide some insight, provide some, well, recommendation, whatever it may happen to be, I'm not sure now, to the Mid-Atlantic Council, that's the lead dog on this plan, that we adopt a slightly different fishing mortality rate for the determination of the ABC. So I would move to substitute that the ABC for spiny dogfish for fishing year 2010 be based on F equals 0.20. If I get a second, I'll elaborate a little bit more as to why I picked that particular number.
Well, I already went through this earlier with Red Crab, but is there a second? Doug?
All right. I'm well aware of that, Mr. Chairman. And I hesitate to go there, but in good conscience, I just can't just say SSC has spoken and that's it, especially since the stock assessment information provides us with a range of values. 0.20 is midway between the 0.11, the F rebuild value, and frankly, we are rebuilt, although the National Marine Fisheries Service hasn't stated it that way. ASMFC has. So 0.20 is in between. Now, I haven't got the calculation in front of me as to what that would translate into relative to catch, but it certainly is not less than 12 million or 9.1 million, which is an embarrassment. If we have to move that forward and implement that, I think it's just an incredibly difficult, if not impossible, to defend. So it's between 0.11, 0.284. It is far less than the FMSY value. And it allows us to do all these three things described on page 13, number 4. Keeps the population near the rebuilt level, allows rapid changes in catch levels, et cetera, et cetera. So that is my motion, Mr. Chairman, recognizing that we don't have the final say on what happens with the dogfish ABC. The Mid-Atlantic Council is the lead. I would hope we would offer this up as some New England Council guidance to the Mid-Atlantic Council for them to consider, see where it goes in the Mid-Atlantic Council, and then, of course, where it eventually goes with the National Marine Fisheries Service.
Thanks, Dave. I think with dogfish in the past, we've had the councils on different pages, if my memory serves me correctly, and in the past, when the two councils were on separate pages, the service ended up picking. They're the tiebreaker, if you will.
One final point. Obviously, if the tiebreaker occurs and the service decides that it has to go with 9.1 million pounds, dropping the quota to a much lower level than where it is right now, the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission will deal with dogfish at its meeting in February, and I can assure you that it is highly unlikely that we would go to that 9-point-some-odd million pounds value, especially since we've already declared the resource to be rebuilt. We'll be on a different page anyways. I don't want that. I don't want that. It is undesirable for many different reasons, but I'll at least state it on the record because it's defensible. The SSC has said something different, but from what I see in front of me here, from what I've read in all these documents, and from my knowledge of this fishery and the assessment information specifically, it's defensible.
Frank,
if
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to read from the SSE report also. It says, spiny dogfish spawning stock biomass appears to have reached or exceeded the rebuilding target in the most recent years. The agency has not determined that the stock was rebuilt, even though the stock has reached or exceeded its rebuilding targets. The SSC was informed accordingly that it was constrained to choose an F that could not exceed the rebuilding of 0.11. So the SSC has said it's rebuilt. It was the agency that did not declare it over to be rebuilt. Had the agency declared it to be rebuilt, we would not be at a point where we'd be at 0.11. The SSC said they were constrained by what the agency told them. Now, I'll let George, but also what it means, if the stock is declared overfishing is occurring later on, it makes a difference on whether you're on an F rebuild or if you're on a different F. It makes a very big difference.
Thank you. The problem is that there is no approved rebuilding target in the FMP. The council's recommendation for that, I believe it was in the original FMP, was disapproved. So although scientists may opine that it's rebuilt, the FMP does not have that target and cannot declare that it's rebuilt, and we can't declare that it's rebuilt under those circumstances either. There's going to be a track done in January, and hopefully the outcome of that will be we will have a rebuilding target that the council can then put into its management regime through either specifications or a framework action. At that point, we can, if the scientific results draw us that conclusion, declare it rebuilt. And then we're in a different regime. We're not bound by the F0.11 anymore, and there's more flexibility than we've had. But we're in this kind of a legal procedural box right now until we get the results of that stock assessment. And we don't know what those results are going to tell us. They may, they may change all of the reference points and as well as give us a new status of the stock. So we can't necessarily conclude that that's going to be the outcome.
I think I've asked every year for, 6 years, how we have a plan without a rebuilding target. Like, how can we have that?
Rebuilding forever.
I've never got an answer that made sense, and I'm pretty sure we wouldn't be allowed to So you put a rebuilding plan on sand dollars without a target for them, or even an FMP. You know, when we go into a rebuilding stage, you need to know where you're rebuilding towards. I think that's a component of a rebuilding plan. I've never understood that, but it's neither here nor there. I believe next year we're hoping to have that target. I had Rick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. George has already touched on some of what I was going to say. I have already been in discussions with the regional office about how we might react to the upcoming track assessment, recognizing that at that point we'll have a peer-reviewed benchmark that we can go off of. And you all may recall that when we passed Framework 2 provides us with the ability to essentially update our reference points. And in order to do that, we have to have a track or a benchmark that we can update those reference points off of. But so what I would propose is that we follow the track very closely, and when we have an indication of what the reference points might look like coming out of that process, if we can move very quickly to incorporate those reference points, and if those reference points would allow us to change either our harvest strategy or harvest levels significantly, then I would submit that we might want to take prompt action, and I'm not sure if that could occur through a second specification setting process or through a framework process, but potentially we could come off that track in about April, perhaps at our April meeting, and then come to your council and then back to ours. We'd have to have, if we do a framework, we both have to have two meetings to do it. But we could have that in place potentially by
December, roughly, or the first of next year. So that would be coming in about the middle of the fishing year, you know, for the second half of the year. So, again, in the absence of a rebuilding target, you know, we're still and in the absence of a declaration that we're rebuilt, we're still constrained by F rebuild and the FMP. So I think, you know, unfortunately, I think this motion would really be inconsistent with the existing terms of the FMP as it stands now. And our ability to update those reference points is going to be tied to the track or some other benchmark. And I would propose that we try to incorporate those reference points as quickly as possible as soon as the track is completed. But as we sit here today and as the SSC convened, I mean, they weren't able to provide advice in excess of F rebuild. And that's still just, a practical constraint of the FMP at this point, unfortunately.
Frank?
Well, I'm just concerned that it wasn't scientific advice. They were going by what they perceived to be the law. The scientific advice, it clearly states that they were constrained by what the agency told them. It wasn't based on what they thought was the scientific on what could be landed. They were told in advance that you're constrained by the F rebuild. Not that they didn't come forward and say the quota for next year should be this, but because of the law, you have to do that. Go to 0.11. They said going into there, regardless of what we think it is, we have to go by the law, which is 0.11. And that's not scientific advice. That's legal advice.
Anyone else? Rich.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up to what Rick Robbins was talking about, maybe ask George, you know, to expedite the process based on Framework 2, we'd have the ability to implement any changes in the biological reference points without going through any significant regulatory action. And Framework, since it's a joint plan, as Rick's already indicated, would take 4 meetings. Another option that I thought of, I haven't had a chance to talk to Rick about it, I would ask George, it would be to move spiny dogfish up in the spec setting process to April, May, go through the council meeting at the Mid-Atlantic in June and do maybe revise this year's fishing year that you're talking about right now and then do next year's at the same time, because I don't think we'll really have any, we'll have all the information from the track from an assessment standpoint. Wouldn't do us really any good to wait till the fall like we're doing this year. So would that be a potential avenue, George?
I'm not entirely sure I understand what you're proposing, but the fishing year starts May 1, as you know, and there's no rollover provision for the specs. So if we don't have something in place on May 1, the fishery opens with no trip limits and no quota and no ability to manage it at all, which we want to avoid. So are you proposing that you do the specifications through this process and then subsequently revise them through a second specification process? I had that question too, frankly, and I think we need to talk to Joel about that. It may be possible, but I just don't know.
So
I think there is an error in the motion that's on the board. 0.20 is not F rebuild, correct? And that is, or is that exactly? And it's right, and it's not an SSC recommendation.
If I may, I should have looked at the board. It's nowhere near right. Let's see that. That the council set an ABC for spiny dogfish for the fishing year 2010 based on F equals 0.20. Thank you, sir.
Beginning. So I think everybody sees this. We have
another one of these unintended consequences. We have conflicts in the law. We have one law that's saying we have to follow the best scientific advice, which says that the stock is fully rebuilt. Another law says that we can't fish above a certain level because we don't have an FWE build.
Anyone else in the council? Glenn?
Just for my own clarification, I guess I'll ask George, how can there be any numbers at all if there's no target?
Well, the problem is that in the original FMP, the council did propose both a overfishing threshold and a rebuilding target, and that was rejected. It was disapproved. And the agency can't substitute any. We can only approve or disapprove what the council gives us. So when it was disapproved, there was nothing left. And unfortunately, over the years, that hasn't been remedied. Framework 2, which the council recently completed, was an attempt to give more flexibility in adopting that target once you get the benchmark assessment or the track in this case. So it is an anomaly that there's nothing there. You can't make a legal determination that it's rebuilt under the FMP because there isn't a target. I think everybody feels that the stock is, you know, in a good place relative to where it used to be, but we can't make that call because there's no line.
Yeah, well, it's quite true. It's been a troubling aspect of dogfish management for a long time, no biomass target, and I was part of that discussion back in 1994, something like that. This goes back a long time, where the Mid-Atlantic Council had a perspective of around 200,000 metric tons, large females. The New England Council was around 170-some-odd thousand, maybe 180-some-odd thousand, and then eventually we went with 10% of 200,000, 190,000, and that didn't fly. So we have two different positions, two different council positions. But my understanding is that from all the documents I've been referencing over the years, that for all practical purposes, it's been a de facto 200,000 metric ton target. Not that I liked it, but that's basically the guidance, the benchmark that everyone's been using, around 200,000 metric tons. So even though it's not in the law, well, not in the plan, it's always been talked about as the target. And, of course, the ASMFC said years ago, you know, we'll go with a target, and it was adopted. And now we are rebuilt according to the ASMFC. It's an ironic situation, clearly, and a desirable situation. But, you know, I'll be surprised if anything comes out of this benchmark assessment that would be much different from our 200,000 or so. Who knows? But Paul knows. No.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Rich, I always remember that at these annual meetings we set annual tax. And, you know, it appears now where the council is setting an ABC. What would be the annual tack? Or do we now have to say the tack will be equal to the ABC? This is a little out of the ordinary.
Yeah, the ABC is the tack. The commercial quote is the TAL, to the old language.
Rick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, at this point, I think it'd be most profitable for both councils really to focus on fixing the rebuilding target problem. We've developed, I think, procedurally the mechanism for doing that in Framework 2. I would suggest that we collectively follow this track very closely and try to work jointly as quickly as possible at the conclusion of the track to update the rebuilding target. And if that allows us to modify our fishing strategy, that we immediately take action to modify the specification to that point in time. I mean, frankly, this exercise of trying to set an F that's in excess of the rebuilding F that's required in the FMP today just strikes me as somewhat fruitless.
Anything further? Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the second time today, there have been compelling reasons why we should make a change to the SSC's recommendation for ABC. But again, for process and legal reasons, I have to vote against this. We're setting a bad precedent here in how we're dealing with these recommendations from the SSC. And not only our SSC now, but the one for the Mid-Atlantic.
Anything further? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Ten. Opposed. One, two, three, four, five, six. Motion to amend carries 10, or is it substitute? Amend carries 10 to 6. Now we're back on the main motion as amended. Anything further? Go to the audience. Eric?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Eric Brazier, Hook Fishermen's Association and manager of the Georgia's Bank Cod Sectors. I guess I just have two questions at this point. The first one to Gene, and that is, according to the SSC, we're bound to EFRI build at 0.11, and that is based on the proposed target that Dr. Pierce had mentioned of 200,000 metric tons. So I guess my question is, how can an informal, proposed, suggested target, if you will, hold the same legal standing as a target that has been approved by the National Marine Fisheries Service? Another way to ask it would be that, given that this is not an approved target, are we still bound to EFRI build?
That's a better question for George, not me.
Yeah, I think you're kind of confusing a couple things. The EFRI build is in the FMP. It is approved. So the council's bound by that EFRI build until it's changed or until the stock is declared rebuilt and there's no longer a rebuilding program. So although there isn't a rebuilding target, there is an EFRI build.
Oh, okay. Then I must have mistaken that. I thought that because the latest biomass estimates had dipped below that proxy target, that therefore we are bound to EFRI build and nothing greater than EFRI build.
It isn't that it dipped below the target because there is no target. It's right. That there was a rebuilding plan. It's a strange circumstance because you have an approved FMP that had all the parts except for one, and that part's never been fixed. Hopefully it will be this year. But the F rebuild, the rebuilding plan and the F rebuild are in the FMP, and the council's bound to follow them until they're changed.
Well, that leads into my second question then. So clearly this is frustrating to the council. It's frustrating to all the fishermen at the table and all the fishermen from Maine to Florida. And it's incredibly frustrating to hear that, basically a logistical issue, the lack of a biomass target, an FMP issue, because we've been operating for the last 10 years without one, there's nothing we can do until we get one in the plan. And it's quite disappointing to know that this has been 10 years in the coming. This is not a surprise to anybody. And as has been mentioned, we are looking forward to the Transboundary Resource Assessment Committee and this benchmark assessment coming up in January. And I guess my second question goes back to the service, which is that, please correct me if I'm wrong, but on the call that we were on last week, it was made certain, I perceived it as fairly certain, that despite this track occurring at the end of January and the results being made in April, that not only is there not enough time to implement any track results by May 1st, but there's no mechanism to incorporate any in-season adjustments. So for all intents and purposes, whatever result comes from the track, we won't see any changes in trip limits or allocations until the 2011 fishing year. Is that correct?
No, not necessarily. As Rick Robbins was just describing, there is one, I think, relatively certain mechanism to do it, which would be the framework process, which if it were initiated as soon as possible in the next year, you could make a change to the reference point, or you could add in the new reference point, whatever that reference point is, and it may not be 200,000 metric tons or whatever it is. Or there may be a way, such as Rich was suggesting, of doing some sort of a secondary follow-up specifications process. I don't think we've ever done that, but Joel McDonald, who is the specialist with the Mid-Atlantic Council, we can talk to him about that to see if there's a better, faster, easier way to do it. We would seek whatever would be the easiest way to do it. So there are a couple of ways, potentially, that those things could be done. The facts that you mentioned on the call are true, but there are other mechanisms that would not necessarily mean you'd have to wait till 2011.
Okay, well, thank you for that. That's encouraging. And I guess just to wrap this up, you know, we appreciate that, you know, our state leaders' excitement to move forward with this. And, you know, this is, like I said, this has been a long time coming. We're in a situation where, as of 2008, we're looking at 1.4 billion pounds of dogfish in the ocean right now. And continuing on with every build in the near future, we're going to have almost 3 billion pounds of dogfish. And that, coupled with this logistical issue of the lack of a biomass target, this needs to be addressed. And we're looking forward to the track results, and we're looking forward to having something legitimate, something solid in this FMP and in this fishery by May 1st, 2010. Thank you.
Louis Marder Trolling, we're a processor in New Bedford, dogfish. I just want to tell you today that the Canadian fish, it didn't happen this year. The fishery, the Canadian didn't fish anything. They didn't go. So I don't understand why we have the Canadian. We deduct the Canadian fish here because the Canadian didn't bring any fish to us. And they didn't fish because the price was not right. So this is number one. Number two, I just want you to think about the fisherman, the processor, and the roller coaster it is, and the economic impact. You never think about this economic impact. So, you know, we have a plant where we have to cut the fish. So one year it's 12 million pounds. The other year it's 9 million pounds. You have to employ and fire people. I don't think you want to do that. I think that if you maintain the 12 million pounds right now and just let it go like it is, everybody will be happy with it. I have a letter from Bonnie Frank that I'm going to give you to all of you because I think he's very unhappy with the government. And very unhappy with the Mid-Atlantic Council. So I'm going to distribute that to you. Okay? Thank you.
Paul.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. If I could make a recommendation to Rick and the Mid, that when make sure you pay very close attention to the terms of reference for the track, and I would recommend that you send an SSC member to the track to make sure that the reference points and everything that the councils need are fully addressed.
Anything further from the council on the motion? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Twelve. Opposed. One, two, three, four. Motion carries 12 to 4. Anything else under dogfish, Frank?
Yes, I have two more motions. Move to accept
Monitoring Committee's recommendation that the U.S. commercial quota Well, we can go to number three then. Move to accept Monitoring Committee's recommendation to maintain status quo on trip limit of 3,000 pounds per trip of spiny dogfish.
Is there a second? Seconded by Rip Cunningham. Discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? One. Abstentions? One. Motion carries. Anything else, Frank?
Nope, that's all I have.
Okay. Anything else from Rick or the mid-staff?
We would normally set a commercial quota based on the ABC, and Frank had a recommendation for that that was associated with the F rebuild. I don't know what it would be with the new F.
Yeah, I don't think we can run that calculation at the table here.
Yeah, I think it's kind of moot. I mean, we'll receive the, you'll send us a letter on this, I assume, to our council.
Are you guys all set? Okay. Certainly seems we're determined to send a message. I'm not sure it's the message you think you're sending, but or at least there's more than one message we're sending with these decisions we're making today. That's clear. Sally?
I don't think everybody, it's obvious everybody around the table doesn't think we're sending the same message, but one thing is clear, we've rejected the advice that we're required to follow under Magnuson from our own SSC. We've rejected advice from the Mid-Atlantic SSC, and you know we're not helping ourselves in the process here at all. I mean, we've essentially passed the buck on this to the agency to break the tie, as was pointed out earlier, well knowing that we have not solved any problems, and simply said to our SSCs, essentially, that advise us, both New England and the Mid-Atlantic, we reject your advice. It's a bad message to be sending to the people who we need to rely on and work with more effectively. And, you know, as I've said too many times already, we need to fix the process between the council and our own SSC, but this only highlights that it's not just a New England issue. We need to, this needs to be much broader than just New England, and consideration far to the south needs to be incorporated into a much better approach than just saying no.
I think we'll always be able to find a reason not to accept something. That's a given. Go back through supporting data that supports the decision and poke holes in that, poke holes in emails from people outside the process. Say somebody said something to you and use that as a reason why you can't accept something. You know, not saying they weren't good reasons. There were obviously people felt strongly that the reasons they used were good, but think long and hard about how to improve this process so that we're not remanding and constantly second-guessing the advice that people are giving us. I think that's it for Dogfish. I appreciate you guys coming up, and good luck.
Mr. Chairman.
Rick.
I may like to thank you again for your hospitality. I'm going to have to go catch a flight. We will continue to work on the issue of the policies regarding the council's interaction with the SSC, and per your earlier request, I'll certainly stay in close contact with you and your council's leadership about
the developments that we have within our council on these questions, because just to follow up on Sally's comments, I think it's clear that we need to continue to try to better define the process and establish policies around that process that will ensure the integrity of it going forward, because we have so much work in front of us as councils that I think we're better focused on that than on fighting the SSCs every time they offer us advice. But obviously we're in a transitional period, and navigating that process successfully is going to require, I think, significant commitment to getting the process right. So look forward to working with you all on that.
Well, thanks, Rick. I guess we'll take a quick 5-minute break, and then we'll take up the last agenda item. Up the last agenda item.